Plant lovers, ready to level up your green game? Whether you're rocking a few herbs on your windowsill or turning your apartment into a jungle, fermented plant extracts is your secret weapon. These natural boosters are like superfood for your plants, packed with nutrients straight from the earth. No synthetic stuff here. They'll make your plants stronger, healthier, and more vibrant than ever before. We're talking about next-level soil health and explosive plant growth, all while keeping it 100% eco-friendly. Fermented plant extracts nourish your soil with rich organic matter, helping your plants thrive naturally. Perfect for anyone looking to grow sustainable, clean, and seriously lush plants at home. Whether you're a newbie or a pro, we've got you covered. Check out fermentedplantextracts.com and start growing green, because your plants deserve the best, and so do you. FPE products work best with Build-A-Soil Living Soil. You'll notice the difference when you use Build-A-Soil and fermented plant extracts. It's the all-natural combo that will take your garden to the next level. Let your plants show their best potential with fermented plant extracts and Build-A-Soil. Don't forget to mark your calendars for the 2024 Living Soil Cup and Build-A-Soil Days. Coming up November 2nd and 3rd, go to fermentedplantextracts.com for all the details and to enter your strain. Hey, cannabis connoisseurs, you love Little Farmer and Refer the Reefer, right? Want to support the show and elevate your grow? Head on over to littlefarmer.com and check out the latest seeds from Little Farmer Genetics. That's littlefarmer.com. The new drops are live now, featuring some of Colorado's finest hand-curated strains. But don't wait, quantities are limited, and these seeds are moving fast. Whether you're looking to expand your garden with something fresh, or searching for those rare one-off genetics, Little Farmer's got you covered. So what are you waiting for? Please support Refer the Reefer, support Little Farmer, and most importantly, support your own garden. Grab some of these exclusive seeds today. Remember, when they're gone, they're gone. Visit littlefarmer.com and secure your genetics now. Free tester seeds are included with every online purchase. Thanks for your support.
So welcome to the show, everyone. I have a special guest today, a duo. They are a growing and hash-making duo, and I met them down at the Build-A-Soil Living Soil Cup last year, the first annual cup, when the new cup is coming up here in November. So I assume you guys are going to come down again and enter again.
The cup That's the here, plan. Yep.
This is Alex and Gabby. They are Ice Axe Hash. That is their logo. That is the name of their growing and hash making team. And I think that you won first place with flower last year. You won one of the judges' personal favorite, so you got an award for that, and you got third place in the concentrate.
Yes, we did.
We managed to take home something in both categories, which we're really proud about.
Cool. So the Build-A-Soil way of growing, is that how you've been growing? Mostly Build-A-Soil.
We definitely use the Build-A-Soil stuff 3.0, but we actually do a slightly different kind of take on that.
Nice. So we'll get into that in a second. First, I just want to ask you guys, where you from, how you got to Colorado, and how'd you find out about the Growers Cup for the Living Soil Cup, and get into that?
Well, I'll start off a little bit about how we ended up, getting together, and just a little bit of backstory. But just want to say thank you for having us. Super excited to be here. I'm Gabby, and I am the, co-founder, co-grower, and hash maker of Ice Axe Hash. As you mentioned, my husband, Alex, and I, we've been together for about 8 years now. And I've been growing together and making hash for the past 3 years. It's been an awesome experience. And I think we make a really great team and share our love for the plant and just have a ton of fun doing what we do. In those past 3 years, we had the opportunity to participate in the Build-A-Soil Living Soil Days event down in Grand Junction, where not only did we meet you, but as you mentioned, we took home some awards, third place with our rosin, first place in flower, and best in show. So we're super psyched to be here today. It just feels kind of surreal to go from doing something that started off as a passion project to really getting our name out there and start to gain some recognition in the community. A little bit about my journey before Alex and I joined forces. I started growing back in, it was probably 2009 into 2010. I was living in Asheville, North Carolina. So that's where I went to college. And during that time, living in that, you know, crazy hippie town in Western North Carolina, I was helping out a friend with their grow. After a couple months of helping him out, I realized just how into it I was. I'd always been super passionate about cannabis and was a regular consumer. I think I was like one of the first people in my grade to start consuming cannabis. And it was just totally out of all about it. Growing up, my dad was an incredible landscape contractor, also arborist. So from a young age, I was really brought up in an environment that instilled this love for growing in me. Even my grandfather, who came over to the U.S. on a boat from Italy, his thing was growing dahlias. So he bred dahlias and in particular was striving to breed a black dahlia. And so that was always super inspiring to me. And to this day, every year, you know, I grow dahlias in his honor. So going back to my days in Asheville, I eventually got some genetics from my friend. I was helping out and had a friend come over, help me, you know, build out a grow room in a spare bedroom that I had. It was a combination of hydro, like ebb and flow table, as well as, I don't know, maybe 6 to 8 plants growing in soil. And I was just super duper into it. Had the room, you know, decked out with crystals and played the music and stuff. And I just realized like, wow, I really, really love doing this. Over the next couple years, I had a good friend. He's an old deadhead guy with rheumatoid arthritis who needed help in his grow. And one of the things he needed help was making hash. So he taught me how to make bubble hash. And this is really the first introduction that I had to making hash. And, you know, he would like break me off a little piece to take home with me. And I was, you know, like, wow, this is something that I'm, you know, super, super into learning more about. At the same time, I was pretty involved in the cannabis scene for several years. I mean, being involved or being in college rather, and, you know, I was doing pretty well for myself at the time. I definitely look back fondly on those years. It was around that time that I met Alex. I had brought, you know, a little bit of work over to my buddy and walked in, and he introduced me to his roommate, this guy Alex. Didn't really think much of it at the time, and we were friends for like several years before I even considered Alex as like a dating prospect. So I'll let Alex, you know, share his story about, you know, how he made it out to Colorado. But I eventually left Asheville, went to grad school, and Colorado just seemed like the next logical step in the progression of things since I really love the mountains so much. So I ended up moving to Denver in 2015, and I got really into rock climbing. I knew that Alex was a climber, and he also happened to live like 2 blocks down the street from me on the other side of Colfax. I was looking for a climbing partner, and so I reached out, asked if he wanted to go climbing, and that was about 8 years ago, and the rest is history, I guess you could say. So our shared love of climbing inspired our brand name, Ice Axe Hash, kind of a double entendre, not only for the icy cold key ingredient in the hash making process, but also for the ice axes that one uses while ice climbing as well.
So you're not just a rock climber. You climb the ice rocks.
Yeah. It keeps
us a little more extreme.
Keeps us sane during the winter for sure. So
yeah. Winter activities and the winter darkness. Yeah. It definitely helps to have some kind of activities to keep your endomorphins up and something exciting for you to do.
Yeah.
Instead of locking yourself in a house.
Yeah, absolutely.
Short days.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you got into cannabis as a youth, did it have some kind of, was it all recreational or some kind of medical benefit for you? Did it like slow your brain down and help you focus? Yeah. And you kind of sounds like it was a meditation, a ritual when you got into your plant room.
Yes, exactly. And I appreciate that you caught that. Yes. I think one of the big things that I really was drawn to and what I still love very much now is this really meditative aspect to it. I am a yoga teacher. I practice a ton of yoga. And so I really try to incorporate, you know, this sense of mindfulness and presence into the process. And it's just, you know, almost like this spiritual experience working with the plants. Of course, you know, it helps with my anxiety and just ability to sleep. So there's a lot of reasons that I'm particularly drawn to it. It's just, you know, enriched my life so much. And I'm just grateful that, you know, I'm able to do this with my best friend. So
yes.
Awesome. So Alex, you were in Asheville too. Is that where you guys met? Right?
Yeah. That's where we met in Asheville. Like she said, I had just moved into a new place and I was like, who is this cute girl that just brought over this like really decent weed? And I was like, I'm curious about her. I want to know her name. And yeah, didn't even realize that that would lead to, you know, where we are today, but kind of funny how the world works. And I can honestly say that, you know, the plant maybe helped us cross paths, which is super cool.
Definitely.
So I'm thankful to kind of some of the energy that it carries in that regard.
Cool.
It's allowed me to meet cool people like you and just, you know, have a sense of community and belonging.
Also. Yeah, there was a lot of cool people I met down at that Living Soil Days. Yeah, so it was a great. I'm definitely going to go down this year. I'm hopefully going to set up the podcast and be able to interview a couple people on the spot instead of waiting a whole year.
That would be so cool. And we look forward to catching up with you there in person and having a proper sesh together and doing that.
So were you already into cannabis when you met Gabby?
Yeah. I was already into it. Kind of similar story. I think I got into it in high school and even as early as high school, maybe put a plant in the woods, maybe one in my closet to kind of see what the whole process was about. Definitely would go to the local record shop and look at the High Times magazines in the back and yeah, just kind of fell in love with it. Something about it, you know, being forbidden too was kind of enticing at the time. And growing up in South Carolina, it's still highly illegal.
That's one thing that I think too, like, yeah, underage consumption has supposedly going down when everybody thought it would go up. But a lot of it's like what you just said, it's legal now. So it's not like, oh man, I can just kind of go and ask somebody, let me see your plant instead of having to start your own hidden in your own closet, you know? And yeah, that's something it's relevant now too. It's not illegal. So the younger kids, it's not as intriguing or what is this? I can't.
I agree. I think maybe
it's can't on one too.
The forbidden fruit.
Yes, exactly. So you grew up in North Carolina and then you kind of made your way to Colorado about the same time.
Yeah. I was in South Carolina and then we met in North Carolina. And then I actually came out to Colorado to pursue climbing, but I think weed was a great bonus and definitely a motivating factor at the time. I was like, you know, I could get my med card. That's around the time I actually came out, was just before
weed, like 2013 or so.
Yeah. Just before then, and you know, had a med card, kind of started growing in the basement. That's when I would say I actually had the opportunity to feel comfortable, ask questions, go to the hydro store, pick this gear up, doing these things in South Carolina. North Carolina had to be way more secretive about it. And so I think that's when like the ability to learn more and kind of get out there with it more was, you know, that was the chance. And so I think that's when things really started to take off. That's when I got involved in the industry as well. And professional way, working in a grow, but also working on a project that had some impact on the financial sector of cannabis, particularly in the form of a state chartered credit union. That was an idea that my family was able to, kind of see through to a point that, you know, we got to some dead ends, but that was definitely something I was really passionate about and something that I'm kind of stoked to share with you. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the Fourth Corner Credit Union or any of the things that went on. Well, right around 2012, 2013, and right as things rolled out in a recreational sense, banking is actually currently still an issue for the cannabis industry nationwide, but particularly in Colorado, we were honing in on a solution, or at least in my mind, a solution that we thought could work. And I was able to form a group that went after a state charter for a credit union. And we worked alongside and spoke with Governor Hickenlooper about this and got his endorsement. And then we applied for an application for a federal routing number through the Federal Reserve and had our application denied. But on the basis of the fact that they were already taking millions and millions of dollars in tax revenue through the marijuana industry, both, you know, in various different states, we sued the Federal Reserve and actually made a little bit of progress with that and were able to help with some of the safe harbor banking things that are in place today and with the ability to, you know, make that a little more safer, you know, not having so much cash on the street, trying to allow these companies to have some bank accounts so they can make payroll and just conduct themselves like any other licensed business in the state. And so
I think a lot of them are using credit unions, right? Is that,
yep.
It's not really a bank, it's a credit union.
Mm-hmm. And then it's state chartered, and then that's what allows them. Ironically enough, because we sued the Federal Reserve and told them, you know, our exact plans and were very forthright about it, they denied our application on the basis that, you know, cannabis is still federally illegal. But that then opened it for all the rest of them here in Colorado. So that was something really cool that I got to participate in. That also kind of, you know, maybe killed my spirit a little bit. In terms of working in cannabis any further, though. And now I'm back to doing it for the love of it, for the quality, for, you know, what I really care about, which is, you know, rare quality resin and beautiful plants.
So you both just basically grow for yourselves and make for yourselves, or have you got a commercial license and are you producing on a commercial scene yet?
I worked in the commercial scene and I would love to produce in a commercial scene if I had the opportunity. I definitely wouldn't say it's out of the question, but at least now I'm all about high quality meds for friends and family and mm-hmm. for doing it for that 100%.
Yeah, that's what I grow for, friends and family, just the caregiver, mostly my roommates and myself and people around me who need it.
Yep. The people that appreciate it and the folks that, you know, that it helps and that's kind of what we're about. What it's always been about from the beginning, you know.
Did you also start off in a more of a what's the term, hydroponic situation, or more in a rock wool? Or
I came from a salt growing background. I actually used to work for Natty Rems. I'm not sure if you're familiar with them. Yeah, I'm not sure what they're under, the name they're under now. And I know these things kind of changed hands, these companies and such. But I actually worked with a gentleman named Jeff Holsing at Natty Rems, and he's the head grower over at Green Dot now. But we were growing in a salt style coco using Jack's, I think it was. And, you know, we're both growing in a very different way now. And I would say that maybe we saw the light. Build a Soil YouTube series, Jeremy, the whole vibe.
Yeah. Also, how did you get into them, and how'd you hear of them, and when did you start switching over? I was about, because I came out here 6 years ago and I started off with like the same stuff I was running before. I was running Fox Farm, a little bit of this, and doing Ocean Forest back east. It was the first thing, you go to hydro store. That's yep. it. That was it. There was no really living soils available yeah. anywhere. You had to make your own. And then I came out and I got some advanced nutrients, I think, and was starting to do that with some cocoa. And then all of a sudden I got into, I think it was Harley something, I can't remember his last name, from NPK Industrial Raw, build your own soil type deal with that. It's all different ingredients, and you just kind of mixed in what you needed at the time. And yeah, and then I heard of Kiss Organics, and then I heard of Build a Soil. After, like, I kept running around trying to find living soils at the store, but nobody was carrying it. So I was running around all over Denver trying to find it. Finally found somebody from Michigan. It was Detroit, water only, Detroit, Michigan area. Yeah, it was awesome fucking soil. But the problem with that is transportation. And then... Then I heard of Build a Soil, and I was like, oh shit, I got into Build a Soil. And then it's so much easier because it's in the state, but they are 4-hour drive from here even. So I know it's probably a 6-hour drive for you.
Definitely a little bit of a ride. I think, you know, their products being more available at some of the local hydro stores definitely helped that. But I can let Gabby speak to maybe, you know, how did you end up doing your first style of grow, or maybe what shaped that?
Yeah, it was really just, you know, what my, you know, what anyone was willing to kind of show me. So, you know, I knew basically nothing, and just super grateful that I was able to, you know, grow in two different styles for, you know, my first couple of grows, and it worked, you know, pretty well. So, when we linked up and started growing, I think we were a little concerned about the amount of waste that, yes, you know, growing in salts produced. And we just were like, there's, you know, there's got to be a better way. You know, all the cocoa, just, you know, there was a lot of waste after.
Yeah, $400 worth of soil or something every round. And then you're just throwing the soil out and buying more soil.
So truck beds full of trash is just, makes me sad. Yeah. It really does.
And when I found out that, wow, you can, you know, fill your beds up with soil and reuse them over and over, I was like, oh my gosh, this is the direction we need to go in. So,
yeah, I definitely agree. I think, you know, I was familiar with the soil thing, even from some of the forum days and stuff like that, but it just seemed kind of unapproachable at first, given how complex it was. And I would say that YouTube series definitely helped make me a believer, being able to see it, you know, being able to have that resource. And then I would say that Colorado has a really cool natural farming kind of soil grower scene. Mm-hmm. And finding some people that were willing to answer my questions. I actually even took a class.
The NICE class?
Yes, that was the NICE class. That's through a gentleman, Jace, Touched by Cannabis, as well as Nick, one of the gentlemen who helped put on the
Portal Provisions.
Yeah, Portal Provisions, yeah. Nick, as well as Miles. Weed Should Taste Good. I actually knew Miles from his Asheville days many years ago.
Yeah, I know the Asheville. I was wondering somehow there was a connection with the Asheville thing.
Absolutely. Was thankful to have kind of met him then, and then reconnected with him when I had first moved out to Denver. And it had been a minute before I'd actually, you know, again, crossed paths, but it was during the NICE course that they put on. What was it, last year, the year before?
I think it was last year.
Yeah.
Spring or something.
I might have even seen you in that class, because I came down when they were doing it in a hotel in Denver or something. I came down.
No way. Yes, I was there.
I was there one and a half days, I think. I didn't get a chance to do the whole thing. But yeah, it's a great course, man. He talks about conserving. I think he's from out of Oklahoma. Talks about doing 12-1 lighting to conserve the lights. Do you guys use the 12-1 lighting in the summer or anything, or you still do 18-6?
I'm still 18-6, but we've kind of shifted to having lights on at night, because then it's cooler and having lights off during the day. And so it makes our workflow a little weird. We're up a little late a few nights doing stuff, but you know, the HVAC can keep up a little better.
Yeah,
I know we spoke earlier about how hard it can be to grow in the summertime indoors, just with the added heat.
Yeah, I do a 12-1 in the summer. Not all the plants like it. If you got the right strain, there was three out of 10 strains that kind of didn't like it. They just didn't get the five leaves back after cloning. They started doing three leaves or one leaf and just didn't have, and they started to do kind of more like an auto flower trait.
Yeah, I get a little nervous kind of experimenting with it. I'm like, oh, tried and true. But I will say the class gave us confidence in a lot of other areas of just making that jump, being like, I'm done with the salts. I'm done with bottle mixing, complex recipes, all kinds of things like that. So,
yeah, like you said, it can be a little confusing, a little daunting, like just a lot to learn at once. But just got a little experience reading the leaves and reading the colors and just knowing what to expect, and then you can definitely, I had fun playing around with it, and I always experiment. Yeah. That's one time reason my weed doesn't always taste the same, because I don't really have a strict format. I just kind of roll with it depending on what I have. I'm making my own ferments now. That was one thing I really got out of the course, is how to make my own ferments, especially canna ferment with the defoliation.
We absolutely love that aspect. I think being able to make some sort of inputs, kind of understanding the connection to the KNS side of things with that, and, you know, a way to reduce the cost. So cool. Reduce the waste. That is awesome. Those align with, like, kind of morally just, you know, how we try to exist as people too. So, you know, we're not eating McDonald's. We want natural food as well. And the same thing kind of applies to our cannabis. You know, I want it to be as clean as possible, pesticide free, mold free. All of those things are incredibly important. And, you know, if it's not something that I enjoy smoking or I would smoke, I'm definitely not going to share that with anybody else if it's not up to that standard too. So,
yeah, I wish more people followed that standard and that mentality.
We've found a product that enhances our plants by harnessing the power of cannabinoids. This is not just a supplement, but it's a game changer in your soil. Grease is an all-natural formula designed to boost the potency of your cannabis garden. Regular use can improve root health, increase nutrient absorption, and protect your plants from pathogens. It works seamlessly with both soil and hydroponic systems, making it a versatile choice for any setup. Grease has been rigorously tested to ensure it leaves no harmful residue and is completely safe for all stages of growth. Grease products enhance resin production, and that means you get more potent extracts. Plus, you get an added layer of protection. With its eco-friendly design, Grease also aligns with sustainable agriculture principles. No pesticides, heavy metals, or residual solvents. The thing that sets Grease apart is its ability to work with the plant's natural processes. Cannabinoids in Grease help roots thrive, boosting beneficial compounds and improving nutrient uptake. These products enhance the symbiotic relationships between plants and soil microbes, optimizing growth and resilience. Whether you're growing a single strain or managing a diverse garden, Grease is your key to unlocking greater potential. Elevate your garden's performance and experience the benefits of cutting-edge cannabinoid technology today. For more info, visit our website or check out the link in the podcast description. Transform your garden with Grease, where science meets nature. Get your hands on Grease products today.
So, Living Soil Cup coming up again. Last year, you guys ran, I want to say it was Super Boof is the flower that you won with.
Yes, correct.
Cool. And you ran that straight Living Soil. And do you use companion plants at all to help with the pests? Like cover crops or anything?
We'll use the cover crop kind of in between rounds, and then during the round for just kind of pest management, no cover crop, just kind of like, you know, straw on top, things like that. And we're really, you know, religious about all the preparation up to flower in terms of preventative IPM or pest management. So that way, once we do get into flower, we're not really spraying anything after that second week at all, under no circumstances, because we grow for resin, we grow for hash. And I think, you know, even just spraying your flower after those bud sites start to form, that can be potentially hazardous to someone's health. So,
yeah, I try not to spray anything either. If I get some bugs somehow, I'll end up beneficial bugs, or I'll just vacuum them off, take them to the shower and shower them off.
Love the beneficial bugs. And that's definitely something that, you know, we like the nematodes. We definitely like the beneficial bugs. We order quite a few bugs in the mail.
Do you have any company you recommend? I got some from Nature's Kiss or Nature's Good Guys, I think, are the ones I ordered from last, and they seem to get here pretty quick. Anyone you recommend for people in Colorado?
So we've been ordering some stuff from Arbico Organics, and then there's a company out of Michigan. Is it MI Beneficials?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Let me, I have it right here. Hold on. I got a sticker from them.
I know Michigan's big because that's where Michigan State, and they're one of the agricultural universities along with Texas A&M.
Yep.
So they're really big into the agriculture up there. And that's where MPK Industrial's from. That's where he was like, he went to Holland a lot and learned from and there where they used a lot more amino acids and enzymes to help with the Breek levels and the health level of the plant. And yeah, that it was pretty interesting following out, listen to it.
It seems like their laws really allow for folks to get out there and get after it too. And it definitely has allowed for this crazy caregiver or home grow scene, from my understanding, you know, which I think has really pushed things for all of us that are a lot of smaller scale. Things have really exploded with the ability to like get different equipment, but as well as just like the open source of knowledge. Like that's been the biggest thing I think that helped us to get on track to where we are now, is like how much folks are willing to share. When it was illegal, people weren't sharing their information, or you had to do some ridiculous chores to earn their trust just to get them to show you how to do something. You know,
you'd be lucky to get to see somebody's grow and just to get invited. Absolutely. It was like, oh my God, I'm to the level. I got invited in. I get to see the grow. Then you're invited to trim. And you're like, oh my God, I get to touch it and trim it the first time. And then you realize after like three times, fuck, I don't want to trim anymore.
That was totally me.
Yeah, that happens to everybody.
Now it's on YouTube, you know? I mean, wow, times have changed. But I did want to circle back to the beneficial bug thing. You asked who, and it is MI Beneficials. I think they're awesome. Yeah. They've done really good by us, and they've got a great kind of warranty about things that don't arrive alive, and then they'll take care of you. So
cool. So what is some of your little hints and secrets on getting your terp levels up to winning an award like this?
Ooh, so not to give away all the secrets, but it definitely comes down to, some environmental control.
Yep, steering, crop steering, I think is what it's called, right? You kind of like steer crops. Just
getting in there and kind of, you know, changing that temperature, trying to towards the end of the run. Mm-hmm. Get it a little cooler in the room. I think a lot of people are familiar with that as a way, as well as kind of like, you know, there's an opportunity to enhance the ripening towards the end of things. And I would say a big thing, if you're trying to be a hash maker, get in there and take a close look at those heads, get some sort of digital scope, get some sort of, you know, jeweler's loop or something, and make sure you're harvesting when it's actually time to harvest. You know, there's a debate as to like how milky do we want the heads, or how many amber heads do you want on there? And there's a lot of schools of thought around that, but actually putting some time into, you know, figuring out when it is the perfect time to cut down, that helps a lot too.
So when you're growing, when you're growing, your whole mentality though is on the hash making, for the growing the plant for the hash making, not consuming it raw, correct?
Yeah. So our main focus when we grow, and it's kind of funny because we won first place for our flower, is actually for making hash, for making rosin. But to have good rosin, plain and simple, or to have good hash, you got to have really fire weed going in. So
you do.
Fire in, the main thing. Fire out.
So have you noticed difference in the quality, and what is the difference from when you were making it with salt nutrients and switching over to the organics? Are you getting better terps? Are you getting more oil on the wash? Are your buds as big? Or what?
I would say that there's way more complexity to the flavor, and certain notes just come out stronger than some of the same strains that we ran when we were growing salt, as well as just from previous experience growing salt. There's a huge difference. I will say that salt and kind of like dry backs, that force feeding style, that Athena style of growing, you can get some really big plants. You can get some biomass from plants that aren't maybe typically known for that, that you can push a little harder, but that doesn't necessarily translate to, you know what I mean, more resin or more flavor. And so when it comes to enjoying some rosin, flavor is super key to that, as well as the production or the growth of those heads.
So yeah, I know the dilemma on when to pick him. Some people, Porta Provisions, Nick, he was talking about it, I think at the Build a Soil, Living Soil Day, where it was taking the trichome, looking at it really closely. And yep. When it turns amber, it's actually breaking down. It's like rusting. It's like it's already done its life, and it's probably the head has popped, I believe, by then, right?
Yeah, that's my understanding, that it's starting to shift into more of a degradation rather yep. than like ripening.
Starting to break down. So what is your take? Do you want to try to catch all of the trichomes when they're cloudy and clear still before they go amber, when they're at their maximum size? Now, where you're going to get the maximum amount of oil out of them too, correct?
Yeah, well, so we want them to harvest in a way that, you know, they're fully formed, and they form with like a cuticle that can be sensitive. So like certain strains that don't wash might appear to have a lot of heads, or might look super frosty to the eye, but, you know, those heads might burst as soon as they hit the water, which can negatively impact the yield. Certain flavors or certain terpenes don't do well in the wash. So we want a head that is like that correct shape, that has kind of that bulbous shape and that very skinny neck, hopefully not too long, not too short. So that way they kind of break cleanly and easily with that gentle agitation, because obviously the harder you agitate things, the more opportunity there is to introduce plant material into the wash and things like that. So there's been the shift, and most folks are aware of this, for breeding specifically for strains that tend to have a structure that kind of checks those boxes. Mm-hmm. You know, cuticle thickness, when does it ripen, how quick does it ripen, how strong, you know, is the makeup of the head, and does it wash well?
Yeah, there's lots of different trichomes, lots of different shapes and sizes, and a lot of them just don't wash well. That was one of the things I didn't know when I first started, and I got bubble bags, a little washer, and some washing it up, and
love it.
The yield sucked. I was like, what in the world is this? There's super, so much trichome on this, man, and it just yielded nothing. And that's when I learned that, yeah, there's certain strains that will do well, and there's certain strains that will do nothing. So it's very strain specific. People are growing and breeding just for these purposes now. Mm-hmm. And are you going this year? Are you entering the same strain? Are you got some secret in the back pocket that you want to talk about?
We won't tell you what we're going to enter. So we definitely love the competitive nature of it. But I'm thinking, you know, based on the popularity of things, this year will be even harder than last year. We're going to see.
I want to see at least three times the amount of people there.
Yeah. It's going to be incredible. And, you know, we're thankful to have gotten to participate in the first one. We've got a cool kind of genetic library of stuff. Like, we definitely still have the Super Boof. We've got a bunch of other kind of quality washers. We got some Pheno Hunts too that we're working on. And then our entry is, we kind of took a chance on something. So who knows how it'll stack up, but we went ahead and grew something and washed something that maybe isn't known for its ability to yield, but we're hoping that, you know, there'll be some rare kind of low yielding resin that folks will really appreciate, some flavor palette that we both really love.
Sometimes that's where the highest quality
exactly
product comes from, is some low yielding plants.
Yeah.
So with the event coming up, you are entering again, and anything else special happening with you guys right now? You said you were just doing your personal stuff. You're not going commercial.
I would love to. It's kind of interesting to look at the market currently in terms of just all the businesses struggling. And then just from what I've heard, you know, the the cost to operate versus what they're getting it for, and just basic business economics makes it almost daunting. We're watching more businesses drop out and fail now, I think, more than ever in the whole industry. So,
well, here in Colorado, I think the quality has dipped a lot. There was a thing where outside investors can invest in dispensaries. It used to be you had to be a resident in Colorado to invest. Then they changed it where outside investors can invest, and people from out of the state were coming in and buying up dispensary after dispensary. And I worked at one that got bought out by one of these companies, and the quality went downhill big time. They had no idea what they were doing. They just had lots of money, came in, tried to change a bunch of stuff. The first three runs failed, so they lost a lot of money. I don't know if they're still in business or not, but the quality has gone down a lot, and a lot of people have gone back to growing their own, or at least trying to find some homegrown stuff because they're tired of the crappy weed, for one thing. And it's all about that price. You were talking about, it's all about that price.
Yep.
People want cheaper. A lot of people want cheaper weed. They don't want to pay more, but the cost of making it isn't cheap. Like you said, there's a lot to put into it, a lot of time. So you got to be able to make some kind of profit off of it. And if you're buying it really, really, really cheap, you're probably getting some really low quality herbs. Like, I've had four people ask me within the last 2 months, hey, can you give me a pound? I'm like, man, I don't sell weed. I'm a caregiver. But what are you expecting to buy a pound for? Oh man, for $600. And I was like, that's what the going price is for weed in Colorado. I was like, maybe on a commercial scene, when you got a commercial license, you're selling 10 pounds, maybe you're going to get $600.
Right.
Oh, but man, that's going to be some cheap shit, and it's not going to be really good. So
you get what you pay for. Absolutely. And
there's probably some backdoor stuff that just never sold at the dispensary. And it's like, the only way they're going to sell it and even break even is sell it for $500-$600 a pound. And I smoked some of that shit before when I couldn't find it. It got its way back to back east somehow. A lot of time it's like sprayed with Avid, or it's just like so bad with the fruit rot or something. It just makes you sick when you try to consume it.
Heavy chest. I mean, it's kind of scary. I pretty much don't purchase any sort of flower from the dispensary anymore, and I haven't in quite some time. And I'm kind of picky about that. Yeah, occasionally we'll indulge in some concentrates or some rosin and things to kind of hold us over between harvests, or just to try a flavor that we haven't tried before. But you know, even then, some of that's just kind of disappointing. It's a big race to the bottom, as I would say. You know, we're going to continue to watch more businesses close up before we see any sort of shift in things. And, you know, there is a lot of people that value the quality of their cannabis and really enjoy something nice because this is their thing that they partake in, whether it's a ritual or whether it's for the benefit of their health. Both are for the benefit of the health, but you know, they're willing to spend, you know, money for that quality. And that's kind of how we ended up in the space that we're in now currently, is because first and foremost, we're most passionate about the quality of what we can produce, you know, every time, trying to do a little better than the last time. But that's because I want the absolute best if I'm going to consume it, you know. And yeah, the caregiver model and the position of just kind of being able to have that always for myself and my people. That's what Ice Axe is all about.
I think it's about a 2-year span where people will go to the dispensary and consume this crappier weed. And at the same time, they're testing and they're seeing this other weed out there that's a little bit better. And they're like, I would like that. And then after about 2 years, they'll stop going to the dispensary and they'll start seeking it out on their own. Like, yeah, I'd rather have that high quality stuff. I can't afford $50, $60 an eighth, but I'd still want to get some higher quality stuff than what's available at the dispensary. There are a lot of good dispensary growers out there, and there are some really good products, but it's really hard to find them and on a consistent basis. And like, it is a price point thing. Like, I can't afford $60 grams of hash. or $50 ace or anything like that, you know,
for my birthday or something. But otherwise, you know, unless it's market research, I definitely really enjoy supporting other home growers or sampling other hash maker stuff. That's something that, you know, I am willing to spend what they want for it. And I do believe the value 100% translates. Like, I get everything I'm paying for. So, you know, yeah, if I have to buy, you know, a 2 gram jar that came from California for more than $100 something, it's worth it though. You know what I mean? You're going to be able to tell the difference through and through, or even, you know, some local Denver purveyors, things like that. I'm all about that. I'd rather support the homies.
Yep.
I'd rather, you know, the people.
So I know I got a video of it somewhere. I got an issue losing a bunch of my audio video stuff, transferring it to my computer and my hard drive. But one of the last things that you guys did at the last Living Soil Cup was the girl power, girls growing. And yeah. I told you then, I was like, yes, we're going to promote that. So big up to all the girl growers out there. Do you have any preference or anything you want to say about the female growers out there and what's going on in the scene? There's not too many. I think there was maybe 3 female growers down there last year.
Yeah. I you know, really try to represent the lady growers in a, you know, in a strong way by not only, you know, trying to grow and make the highest quality hash. And I'm definitely, you know, looking to connect with other ladies. Like you said, they're few and far between, and in a, you know, predominantly male dominated industry, can feel a little lonely sometimes. So I can only hope that, you know, my experiences might inspire like another gal who's looking to, you know, grow or, you know, pursue, you know, a little garden of their own. You know, I'm always happy to connect with them, but it does feel a little daunting sometimes. You know, you show up and you're like the only girl there. So really gotta
go into the hydro store.
Yeah, exactly. It's like dudes everywhere.
And they're all gawking. Oh man, there's a pretty girl who likes to grow weed. Oh my God.
Yeah. Or they just ignore you. One or the other. Usually they're just kind of, you know, like, oh, I don't know. It's probably just, you know, they don't really give you the time of day. But it feels really good to be, you know, having won some awards and just be able to go to these events and, I don't know, just try to, you know, represent the ladies in the industry. So I try to represent us, you know, in a positive and strong, incredible way. So always hoping to connect with more ladies is probably what I'm most interested in doing right now. Because yeah, like I said, it just gets a little lonely. So
yeah, if there's any female growers listening in Denver area, Colorado, reach out. I know you guys are on Instagram at @IceAxeHash.
Yep. Can reach out anytime. I'd be so happy to chat anytime.
And November 2nd and 3rd is the Living Soil Days Cup down in, I think it's Grand Junction, correct? Is that where it was last year?
Area, Western Slope kind of area. Beautiful. We're so stoked to make our way down there and make a long weekend out of it.
It's
better than last year. So
yeah, I can't wait. It's going to be a good time this year. It's I go down and stay the night. So you might want to look into a place to stay if you guys are anybody else is going down there, because it's not a day trip and it's a 2-day event, right?
Hit up the hot springs while you're down there. Orvis
Go to the Orvis hot springs. Definitely recommend that is quite an experience.
Clothing optional, which is awesome.
Is that every night or just one night a week? I know a lot of them are just one night a week. They'll have
I think just it's all the time. They're pretty chill down there. It's gorgeous hot springs. We went last time, had a great time. It was really, really nice. So
guys, I highly appreciate you coming on the show, sharing some of your story with us. It's awesome. Your quality, the product. I want to try some more of it this year when we're down there.
Absolutely.
And the little secret back pocket unknown strain that you're going to break out. I'm excited about finding out what it is.
Can't wait to sesh with you and share some and tell you more about it.
Awesome. So thanks for tuning in, everyone. You guys, pleasure. And I can't wait to see you. And we will have a good time. And anybody else gets down there, don't hesitate to reach out and start talking to us, start up a conversation. There's a lot of great people down there. That's what it's all about. Just Joe Dirt Soil Work is who I have coming up. I don't know if you remember him. Right before your episode, I'm going to upload him. We're talking about worms.
Nice.
And worm casting. So it's a good episode. And I'll let you know when this is dropping so you can share with your friends.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much.
We really appreciate it. Thank you for giving us the platform to just kind of share our story and all that. And can't wait to hang out with you in person. And we appreciate you all that you do for the community as well. And we love being able to participate in these things.
Trying to get more information out there for people to learn. It only takes one sentence or a couple words for them to be like, absolutely. Oh, I just changed my whole world.
Anybody.
And now my quality level went from here to here.
We're stoked to talk to anybody. Anybody can send us a message. That's how we do a lot of our learning. We love to share. I'd love to hear what you got going on. So please reach out to us at IceAxeHash on Instagram.
Anybody else you'd like to give a shout out to?
Definitely. If I could name a couple folks, I want to give a shout out to Miles and Nick. Nick from Portal Provisions, Miles from We Should Taste Good, Jace from Touched by Cannabis and the NICE program. My buddy John, who used to work for the farm, he's been a big supporter of us as well. And all the people that have been, willing to share with us and build us up. We appreciate all those mentors. So thank you for the opportunity to name a few names.
No worries.
Buddy, we love them too. So
hopefully it gets to a point where we can all have our own nice little small micro business or something and not have to worry about going so big, and we can have that quality first, and I think that would be the greatest way to do it. Just have a lot of small little ones. We're not worried about making millions of dollars. We just want to make a living, live comfortably, doing what we want to do and helping other people, right? With quality stuff.
That's what it's all about.
We're in it for the long haul. Can't wait to see where it goes.
All right, guys. Thank you. And we'll be talking soon. Peace.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Later. Have a good one.
Attention all cannabis cultivators. Are you ready to elevate your grow game with some of the best genetics? Discover Farmers Phenos, your ultimate destination for premium cannabis genetics and exceptional phenotypes. Whether you're a hobbyist or a commercial grower, Farmers Phenos offers an exclusive selection of high-quality strains, meticulously curated from top-tier performance and unique terpene profiles. With a commitment to excellence, Farmers Phenos ensures every strain delivers potent effects, unparalleled flavor, and guaranteed clear of pests and HLVD. That's Farmers Phenos, PharmersPhenos. Follow them on Instagram and coming soon on farmersphenos.com. Add some flavor to your garden today with Farmers Phenos.
Call him Dr. Herb for the healing meditation and good vibration. For food, fuel, fiber, and a little bit of fun. See, the joint ain't necessarily the point, but I want you.